Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
The beginning this morning, I wanted to share with you a couple things, but things that are on my heart before I get into Psalm 91, and maybe opening up your eyes to some things that you've already seen or you might be feeling or you're praying about. So I'm going to be talking about the kingdom. If you realize what they were just singing, and it amazes me every Sunday morning, a lot of what I put down to share, Michael will end up with the team singing. And even this morning, I don't know about you, but I was just kind of like almost dumbfounded in worship because it was so good, the presence of God and where they were going this morning in worship. It was just wonderful to enter in. And that's why we do it. That's why we do it, to enter in and engage our hearts. Because if our heart doesn't engage the heart of God, then we're just listening to music and we're just enjoying music. We want our heart to engage God's heart. And so, nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. That's a key phrase. We just sang that. That is a key phrase, a key truth, a key promise that we all need to hold on to. Because this morning, I didn't know exactly what I was going to title the message, but I was going to talk about a kingdom nation with a kingdom people who begin to live in a kingdom culture. And that was what was on my heart. And to talk about that a little bit, and to talk about what we see around us, what's going on around us before we head into Psalm 91. And I wanted to explain my heart to all of you. And that the reason we talk about things regarding the time in which we're living and the age to come is because that's part of our assignment. That's part of who we are. We're to be a voice crying out, prepare the people for the return of Christ. Some of you may say, man, you guys are always talking about the end times. We're talking about the end of an age, moving into an age to come, which is the most glorious age ever because it's when Jesus returns, the King of Glory, who we're longing for, that will make complete sense out of everything that doesn't make sense. And so we're always talking about that, but we also impart scripture to you to hold on to, and we've always been trumpeting about intimacy with Christ because people will let you down, things will happen, things will change, things will shift, seasons will change. But if you have an intimate relationship with Jesus, Yeshua, which means salvation and safety, if you have that relationship with Him, you can make it through any storm. We know that He holds everything, but we also know that He will show us seasons and He will show us things that will happen so we understand the time in which we're living or the storm that we're in. I believe that we're in a storm right now as a nation. I believe that there's storms all over the earth. But what do you do in a storm if it intensifies and gets pretty intense? What do? You find shelter. God is our shelter. Psalm 91 speaks about Him being a shelter for us. And so in the midst of every storm, it doesn't matter if it's just family, individual, if it's in a city or in a region, whatever, the answer is going to be found in Christ. The answer is going to be found in taking shelter in Him and only Him. So that's on my heart quite a bit, and my heart is about the condition of the globe right now, the things that we see happening. And that's why Psalm 91 is so important, because no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, if you will grab hold of this psalm and begin to embrace the Word of God and apply it, it's not the fact that we need another message. We've had tons of messages. It's that we would apply the messages that we've received and the truths that we've received. You might have received a truth right in the midst of worship, and God downloaded something to you in the Holy Spirit. You take that truth in the midst of worship, and you apply it within your life, and you begin to walk it out because you know that He is faithful and He's true. So it's about applying the things that we get from the Lord, from the Word of God, and how in a corporate setting like this, a gathering, God can really download, because we're all hungry. We're coming here hungry. And you probably came in. Many people came in with different reasons. Maybe you're hurting really bad today. Maybe some things are really, you need some answers. Maybe you need healing in your family, healing in your body. And that's awesome that you would come and gather. And we need to pray about that. But realize this, that it's in a corporate setting like this that He definitely is in our midst. And we can hear if we desire to hear His voice. I'm praying for the prophetic to increase, not decrease, but to increase in our lives so we begin to hear things continuously. So I'm explaining my heart, my messages, and the messages from Dave and from Corey and others. It's not doom and gloom. It's about hope. It's about what God is doing and what's on the horizon. History shows us this. It shows us that when there is a calamity or a shaking, let me just say that, when there is a shaking that happens in our midst, usually there is a revival that is attached to that shaking. It is when we go through a hard time and our lives are just really shaken that we begin to return to our first love. And it's in those times that we make a mistake or a wrong turn and we're thinking, oh no, I've blown it my whole life. It's over. And then God shows us the blessing as we return to Him. It's in the shaking that usually revival takes place within the land. And so that's my hope for America, that revival is going to take place more than it is. I know that it is, but that it's going to increase in the midst, a great harvest in the midst of shaking. It is in the shaking that people return to their first love. By saying that, let me give you a possible scenario, that a question or a possible thought that you might want to hold on to. And this is the thought. There might be a dual picture that is about that's happening right now with America. A dual picture. We may begin to see things shake and quake in America like we've never seen it before. But that dual picture shows us shaking, but it also shows a great revival beginning to take place across the land. And so we might be looking, and I'm just a trumpet saying, hey, listen, just keep your eyes open, keep your heart right, because we might be seeing a dual picture. We're going to pray and believe that God's going to turn our nation around and that America is going to be what it needs to be for God. We're going to pray and believe that and stand for that and have faith for that. But we also know that things shift and change. And the important thing is that each and every one of us individually and corporately are part of a kingdom nation more than an American nation. Now, does that say that I'm not a patriot? Of course I'm a patriot. And I love our nation and what God has done through our nation and how we've been able to help so many people. And I'm sorry and repent for the things that we have done because lawlessness is increasing in the land. And we know that. But the fact is this. We need to understand that there might be a dual picture that we might be seeing on the horizon. That doesn't mean I'm not having faith. I'm just trying to prepare me, myself, my family, and my friends and my spiritual family and those around me to keep their eyes open. Judgment concerning ungodliness in American mainstream culture. I believe that there is a chance that judgment can definitely happen because of our mainstream culture. If you just take on the fact of how many children have been aborted, if you just take on that fact alone, there is so much lawlessness in things, and you've heard it over and over. It's like, Bob, do you have to tell me again? Well, hold on, because it's an urgent hour, and we need to keep it before us. Because lawlessness, listen, lawlessness, I believe, is going to begin to pull down the protection that we need as a nation. You follow what I'm saying? We are protected by God. There is no ifs, ands, buts. We're protected every day. But we need to know this, that when lawlessness increases within a land, then the protection walls that we have around us, they begin to dissipate because we've chosen to serve other gods and chosen to walk away from God. God's justice, and some of you may know this, and you heard it said several times, but some of you may not. God's justice is an act of love. And you say, come on. Yes, it is. Because God cannot tolerate evil to have its way continuously. See, the aspect that God has is that He sees all the evil that's happening around us every day. We don't. We see highlights of it and where it's happened. And some of it just, we gasp because we can't believe it. We see the unrest in our nation and our people. But the fact is this, God sees it all. He sees it all and He cannot tolerate it forever. And that's why we have to be a prepared people. And if we're prepared in the place of intimacy, in the place of loving Him, in worship, in prayer, in His word, then no matter what happens, no matter, you know, you're not going to, I don't want you to run to people. I want you to run to God first and foremost. And then God will lead you with the people that you need to be around. And God will protect us. He promises us that. And I'll talk more about that. But I'm concerned about the ungodliness and our mainstream culture, what's happened. But in the midst of judgment, revival, As we turn to the Lord, as we repent and turn to God, revival will begin to break out, and we will begin to see more of a kingdom nation, a kingdom people, and a kingdom culture beginning to happen around us. And we will be drawn to that. I have no doubt. Matthew 6:33. You know, everybody knows, it's one of my favorite verses. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added on. All things are found in the verses prior to that verse. And God will protect us. He'll shelter us. He'll feed us. He'll watch over us. He'll clothe us. If we do what? Seek first the kingdom. Okay, so if you don't get anything, just don't expect anything unless you do what? Seek first the kingdom. We've got to do that. We've got to apply that and make that a part of our life. And I'll tell you this, we have an infiltration of so much that robs us that it's going to be really hard to seek first the kingdom. I'm just being truthful with you. But that's what he's calling us to do. And he says he will add all things onto you. The question is this, and this isn't, again, a scary thing, because if you're of a kingdom nation, you should be in that place of security and believing that God will take care of. But this is a question, and this is a question I've had for a long time, and I've really not said it much from this position in speaking to you. But the question is, if we follow the course that we're in right now, as America is, if we follow that, the question is, where are we in end time prophecy? Where are we at? Because for the most part, you don't see America in end-time prophecy. You don't see us. You see the saints. You see the victorious saints. You see the kingdom. But you don't see, really, America in the prophecy. Now, there's people that will say, well, how about this? How about that? And we can talk about that. I'd love to talk about that. But really, overall, you don't see America. It's a big question. It's something that you need to ask yourself. Where are we? And what is the answer to that? Why aren't we in America? Now, maybe I could present it this way so it would maybe make more sense. Israel is all through end-time prophecy, of course, Jerusalem, the city, and the nation of Israel. And it says many things regarding that. And here we are, the greatest ally. We're the greatest ally to Israel. We're the most powerful nation on the globe. We're the most powerful ally to Israel. Wouldn't you think the most powerful ally to Israel would be mentioned in the prophecy? That's just a question I have. I would think that. But you really can't find America in the prophecy. And there's the answers, I know. The miraculous return of the Jews, listen, to Israel in 1948, that was absolutely over the top. That was after 20 centuries of exile. And when the Jews finally came back to their homeland in Israel, when they finally came back, and once again they were a nation, that was such a biblical prophecy of huge proportion. When you study the scripture and you study Zechariah and Revelation and Daniel, you begin to see, oh my gosh, after 20 centuries of exile. It's amazing. Ezekiel 36:24 says this. This backs that up. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you to your own land. Now, the scripture also talks about Israel being at the center of controversy. And for the most part, wouldn't you say that Israel has had a lot of controversy right now in the Middle East? It's going to be the center of controversy worldwide. It's going to become the center of controversy for the United States of America. It already is close. But it's going to happen. Jerusalem, the city, and Israel's nation, it's never, ever going to cease from this point on. God says that when they come back to their land, that all the nations will rise up against them and try to destroy them. But then Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, will come back on the scene, and he will destroy their enemies. They will never be completely, absolutely wiped out again. It may look close, but God is going to be strong on their behalf. And that's scripture. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12, if you have your Bibles or iPhone or whatever you want to use. In Zechariah chapter 12, I love the book of Zechariah, but let me just read that backs that up a little bit. Verse 1, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. This is our God. Verse 2, behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. Verse 3, it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. The book of Zechariah goes into huge detail of the prophetic coming of the Lord. Zechariah receives 8 visions in one night. Zechariah is probably the most prophetic book in the Old Testament besides Isaiah. Some would differ on that, but it's huge. And so Zechariah receives 8 visions in one night. And it's just amazing, the story. Look at verse 8. I probably won't have that on the screen, but if you have your Bibles. In verse 8 it says, in that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's going to defend them. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. Wow, is that the God of love? Is that... You know, that's the question. Is that the God of Jesus, baby in the manger, and he loves everyone? Of course he loves everyone. Is this the same God? Yes, it is. Because of the evil that has been done. You bless them, you're blessed. If you curse them, you're cursed. They don't do all things right, no doubt, and he's going to deal with that. God's going to deal with them, his own people, and the church. It says, and in the day, verse 9, and in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication so that they will look on me whom they have pierced. Who's me? Jesus, who they've pierced. It's right there prophetically in Zechariah, thousands and thousands of years prior to. There it is. It's him. You see, Jesus, and this was spoken last Tuesday, Jesus has always been. As we say, the Father is the uncreated one, so is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They have always been. They're the uncreated ones who created everything. And so there's Jesus right there. They will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like a bitter weeping over firstborn. That's a powerful, powerful scripture. But I'm showing you that scripture to see that, okay, this is what the Bible is saying about Jerusalem. This is what it's saying about Israel. This is what's about ready to take place. So, after you read Zechariah 12, also in Zechariah, in Daniel, and Revelation, there's also a one-world government. And many of you know that. That's going to come and be led by someone called the Beast. And that ruler is going to be pretty domineering and pretty evil. The book of Zechariah says that Israel will be attacked by all the nations. And both Zechariah and Revelation tells us that the Messiah will come to destroy the final attempt to wipe Israel off the map. Then he, Jesus, will set up his kingdom. Again, Matthew 6:33. That's why we seek first the kingdom. That's why the prayer that he says, pray this prayer like every other prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it's coming back to rule and reign. It's coming to the earth. And that's what he's asking of us. He wants us to get in tune with his heart right now. It's going to happen no matter what. It doesn't matter about any religious organization, any opinion of people. God is going to move in a powerful way. And we can be absolutely in the place, in the center of it, loving every minute of it, knowing that he is our victor and that we can overcome with him, that he's our healer, that he's the one that will take us through. It leads me to another huge question. As I said earlier, again, I don't see anywhere in there that America is in that prophecy. It's not there. There's no clear reference of that in the prophecy. Not a word said about Israel's most powerful ally, which is the American nation. It is God who will rescue Israel. The United States will not rescue Israel. Okay? It's God who's going to rescue Israel. And we've said this time and time again, that it's not that Israel needs America, it's that America needs the God of Israel. That's what we need. And that is a truth that we need to hold on to, that we need to keep before us and know that. And so there's a big gap when we look at the scriptures, that America, this preeminent America, is not found. Something happens. And that's why I lead you to Psalm 91. I lead you to that psalm because of the fact that there's so much safety in the Word of God and in him. We're going to become more of a kingdom nation and a kingdom people. You might have the question, well, what are you saying? Is America going to be destroyed? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there's a gap and something happens and every nation turns against Israel. And the saints and the kingdom culture of God is going to arise upon the scene like never before. And a great harvest and a great revival. And communities will break out like they've never broken out before. And people will learn to live in his presence and learn to live with one another. We're all separated mostly. And the enemy's big plan is to separate us even more. But we're God's people. We're his kingdom people. We're his warriors. And he's called us to stand and to fight for truth and to stand in the midst of it and not back down. And that's why mainstream culture in America right now is just tearing at the very fabric of the kingdom culture of God. It's huge. Have I said it's huge a few times? It's huge. It's huge. It's... Did you get that? It's huge. Thanks, brother. Okay, so a kingdom nation, a kingdom people, and a kingdom culture. And that's why let's turn to Psalm 91, and we're going to look at that psalm. It's going to be up on the screen, too. I want your attention to be there. I want you to look at, when you get a chance to study this out, too, we'll look at it a little bit. But verse 1, verse 9, and verse 14. These are all blessings that come our way. But they come our way based, it's a conditional blessing. Now, when I say that, sometimes people are like, come on, man, God always wants to bless. Of course, he wants to always bless. But it's conditional, the things that we make choices in obedience. And I'll say this probably again. I am all about mercy and grace. I'm all about it. If it wasn't for grace, oh, wretched man that I am, if it wasn't for grace and mercy. But there's also, sometimes we can lose the aspect of obedience, pressing into prayer, pressing into fasting. Pressing in to hear the voice of God, pressing into obedience. Because we live so much under grace and mercy, we don't even think about pressing in. God wants us to press in so that we can reap the full blessings that he has for us. He wants to pour it out on you, and he wants to pour it out on me in a huge way. Conditional. The psalm is for you. It's for your family. It's for the region. It's for the nation. It speaks things out. It speaks out truths. God is committed to provide, to protect, to deliver, to cover his people who make him a dwelling place. And Michael was singing that earlier, a dwelling place. It's just amazing to me that we kept bringing up these things that's in Psalm 91. We can have faith no matter what happens, and we can know that God is committed to us. He's calling you, he's calling us to make him our dwelling place. They say that if a tornado shows up, that one of the best places to be is inside the closet or some, a little space, right? That's what I've heard. I don't know. I think it's right. But what in a tornado, a storm is happening on the horizon. It's around us. The storm is happening. And God's wanting us to get into the closet. What's the closet? You know what the closet is. It's a closet where you go into the closet away from everything else and you meet with the Father. And the Father engages you in the closet so you can come out and be victorious in him. God's calling us in the midst of the storm to go into the closet so we can meet with the Father. That's what he's asking of us. Psalm 91 is also a source of strength. I'm highlighting a few things before. Oh, and I just want you to step back again and look at the intensity of the psalm. Okay, I'll go through the psalm and then we'll come back. Psalm 91, here's one of those conditions. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If I dwell in his shelter in the Most High, he's my refuge. I can trust him. He's my fortress. Verse 3, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, or that could be feathers, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness, or his truth, is a shield and a bulwark. Verse 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, or by the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Now, here again is one of those conditions. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. That you have chosen him to be your dwelling place, your refuge. Then it says, verse 10, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent or your dwelling. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Verse 12, they will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. And here's verse 14 and 15. Again, another condition. Because he has loved me, therefore, the Lord's saying, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him or her. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. That is an intense, that should not be just a familiar psalm. That is an intense psalm that you need to grab hold of today. Not just hear it, but take it. Take it in, grab hold of that psalm, and live in the truth and the promises that are in that psalm. If you look at verse 14 and 15, the first promise, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. That's number one. I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. That's number two. It's another promise. Number three, he will call upon me and I will, what? Answer him. Number three, another promise. I will be with him in trouble. That's number four. Number five, I will rescue him and honor him. Number six, with a long life, I will satisfy him. And then number seven, and let him see my salvation. At the end of that psalm is seven promises to the body of Christ, to you and to me. And it's just not about hearing a good message on Sunday morning. It's about taking the word of God and holding on to it and applying it within your life. And that's why I wanted to share this psalm this morning. Being delivered, think of all the big things in there, the intense things in it. Being delivered from pestilence. We see diseases and things breaking out. And God's saying that if we make him who he needs to be within our life, he will deliver us. Well, I've seen things where I haven't been delivered, but you don't know where the people were. God has intentions far above ours. He will deliver us from evil. That's another intense thing. 1,000 to 10,000 may fall, but it shall not come near you. You're going to observe it, but it's not going to happen to you because you've chosen him. He is your refuge. He is your source of strength. I believe that God is saying in this scripture, and again, I have to kind of wrestle with it and pray about it, and you need to too, and God will download things to you. But what I think he's saying in Psalm 91 is that you're going to go through things, but I'm going to give you immunity. I'm going to give you immunity if you follow me. Even though you see a storm coming and in the midst of the storm, I'm going to give you immunity. I'm going to be with you. That psalm doesn't read any other way. It reads that he is our strength and our refuge. And that's where we can trust him. Today, again, we're in a storm. Come back to full circle here. We're in a storm. There's no doubt that we're in a storm. It's very serious. And it can't be taken lightly. And again, in a storm, you take shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. God wants us to fully lean into him in this hour. He always wants that. But as the storms and things are shifting and changing, he wants you to be encouraged to lean into him and to trust him. And I believe that God's going to, again, increase the prophetic and our discernment in the midst of this. And many of us are going to hear and know the season, the storm, and understand. God will always have the last word, but we're going to be able to discern weather patterns. I want to look in the mirror first and foremost and encourage my own self and say, listen, don't stay in the way you've always stayed. Don't be like you've always been. Know that God has so much more if you'll just press in. That's where I want to be. We should never think this is just who I am. I don't change. God will bring us into glorious places as we're willing to change in his midst and in his word. When we are one with Jesus, we can be a shade tree. I want to talk a little bit about this. When we're one with Jesus, and Psalm 91 is really where we're camping, where we are, and it hasn't fully happened yet, but we can become a shade tree to the masses, because the masses will be flipping out. And we can become a shade tree to the masses if we won't flip out with them and stand in the shelter of the Most High. Many people will come in that place and ask about Jesus and want to know about him. People will be befuddled by the fact that you are just calm. What's wrong with you? I just scared somebody, sorry. Because you should be freaking out right now. Don't you know what's happening? I don't care. I'm trusting in him. I'm walking in his ways. I'm camping in the Word of God. I'm camping in Psalm 91. I've taken it and I believe it by faith. Everything that I read about Scripture and everything that I begin to understand about Scripture is just that how much God is outside of time, how powerful he is. And how many times certain things will happen and certain things can be said that affect my life. And I almost begin to articulate my life to those happenstances that happened in my life. And all of a sudden, I got to shake myself loose and say, no, you got to stand in God. You got to stand in his presence. You got to stand in his word. You got to stay hungry. When I'm not hungry, I need to stir myself up to get hungry. This morning, the worship that was led here this morning, honestly, should stir all of us to a place of hunger. Because this morning was a gaze. We had a gaze going on this morning where we were gazing up to the Lord. We were exalting Jesus. We were magnifying the Lord this morning. And we were doing it in unity. And there are more angels. I got a message by somebody that said, I don't know this thing about angels. And I had to tell him, I said, hey, this is what happened to Daniel. This is what happened to, you know, angels are all around us. I don't worship angels, but I'm sure glad they're around. We're probably all still here right now because of them and the one they worship. So we have warring angels on our behalf. We got to tap into that more. We got to understand that more. We got to believe that they're there to fight on our behalf. Families are being assaulted in the area of the mind because of the download of so much filth coming in from every angle. Families are being assaulted in the areas of their minds. And that's why we have to stand as a people in him to be a light to them when that time comes for them to reach out and reach for something. Parents, you're to be alarms in a real breaking storm. We're all to be called to be alarms. Sound the alarm. What does alarm do? It does what? It wakes you up. It wakes you up no matter how nice your mattress is. It wakes you up, no matter if you didn't get much sleep or not. Your alarm has an intention to wake you up, no matter where you're at, to get you what? Out of bed and going. The alarm is being sounded for warriors and messengers to arise, to wake up, to get up and move after the things of God. It's holy alarms. Messengers are being released with holy alarms. Do you have a holy alarm in you? Wake up. That's what God's saying. Wake up. The nature of alarm is it doesn't care how good you're sleeping. Get up. Get after it. Go for it. So we want to wake. Our agenda is to wake up. We respond to alarm. And how do you respond to it? How do you wake up? Well, you find ways how you connect your heart every day with God. That's what you do. You connect your heart with him. And he helps you. And he sustains you. I'm praying again, as I said earlier, for an increase of the spirit of prophecy and discernment to move in our ministry and in our midst. Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes decades can go by, and I'll look at something that happened 20 years ago thinking, oh, now I understand it. You guys ever get caught up in that? Some of you like, oh, I'm not even 20 yet. But I've seen things like that. I'm like, oh, that's what he was doing. Oh, I didn't get it. I'm asking for an increase of discernment. God is our protection. And as I said at the beginning of the message, it's this. I'm going to close here. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. God is our protection. The walls of protection are breaking down around our nation because of lawlessness. And lawlessness is breaking down our protection. Now, some people may say, oh, yeah, okay, that's good. But I'm telling you, I feel it's happening. If I don't sound alarm, if I don't say something, then I'm held responsible as one up here. And I'm not out to just always talk about the end times. I didn't today. I spoke about Psalm 91, which is all the time. It's an all the time psalm. It doesn't matter. But I want you, and I want to be ready. I don't want to be taken by surprise. The storm that we are in, I believe, is for us to reconnect with the Father. We find shelter in Him, and we reconnect with Him. And where do we reconnect with Him? In the secret place. We go into the closet, and we reconnect with the Father. Won't you stand? I don't know about you, but I think I'm also being pushed into the prayer closet. It's like I don't have a choice. It's like He's pushing me into that closet so I can hear Him. What if we transition from all the media conversation that we have and we transition into our God-Father conversations? What if some people use different forms of media, but what if we started connecting more in our conversation with Him than our conversation with so many other people? That's what I was convicted of. And I believe we're in the transition of that, from media conversations into holy conversations with the Father. Those work. Those are good. That will cause you to be absolutely marvelous, beautiful, wonderful, a bright light shining with the hope that resonates in the Word and the promises of God. How will you use this storm? How will you use it? And how will we use this storm that's affecting our nation? I think God's going to press us right into the eye of it. And we're going to be at peace. We need to ask God today to fill us with a sobriety and an understanding that He's in control, no matter what. And we come back to Him. We return to Him. We repent and we say we're sorry. We let Him embrace us. I don't want the enemy of my soul to have his way any longer. We need to strengthen each other in Christ and find clarity. So there's a call going out this morning as you look at Psalm 91, and I share a little bit about the times in which we're living. There's a call of repentance. There's a call of returning to your first love, of giving everything back to Him. There's a call going out to come into the dwelling place, into the closet, into the secret place, and allow your life to be manifested in however it needs to be manifested according to that place in Him. Amen? That's what we need. So if you need a touch from the Lord today, if you feel like this is a real strategic moment that you're going to come back to Him and give everything to Him, if this is a time that you're going to trust Him to be your dwelling place, I want you to make that decision today. Say yes to Him. He loves hearing your yes. Let's pray. We come before You, Lord, today, and I just ask that today we will say yes to You, that You would be our fortress and our refuge, that I wouldn't trust in the ways of men and women anymore, but trust in You. For You are the one who delivers us. You are the one who will cover us. You are the one who is faithful. I pray also for healing in this house today, physically, mentally, spiritual healing. If you feel the Lord, you need a touch today. You could stay where you're at, or you could just come forward and our teams will pray with you and minister to you. But if you know that God's really pulling your heart to come into that secret place, that there's a reason why you are here today, just come forward to pray. It takes courage to do that. For he promises in Psalm 91, 14 and 15 that he will deliver you. That he will cause you to know his name. That if you call upon him, he will answer you. He will rescue you. He will rescue you. He will give you a long life. He will give you salvation today if you feel like you don't have salvation today. Let's just worship just for a moment. Yes, Jesus. Just keep praying, keep worshiping.
We see.
Yes, Jesus.
Sometimes I see pain.
Yes, Jesus.
When you see victory, see where I am, Lord. You see where I shall be. Cause open my eyes, tell me, be me. I am what you see. Help me to see me the way you see me. Sometimes I see pain, Lord. You see victory. I see where I am, Lord. You see where I shall be.
Yes, God.
Just open my eyes. Help me believe I am what you see.
Open our eyes, God.
Help me to see me,
Jesus.
The way you see.
Yes, Lord.
Sometimes I see pain, Lord. When you see victory, I see where I am, Lord. I see where I shall be. Cause open my eyes, help me believe I am what you see.
I'm just going to wait just a moment. I feel like there's just a couple of you in here that are really battling right now, and you know you need prayer, and something is just, you know, I've been there before, nothing's changed, so I'm just praying that whoever you are, that you just break through and come up, and we're able to pray with you today. Holy Spirit, I ask also that you touch everyone in this room, and even as they go out, that you would be with them. The Lord's just tugging on your heart right now, and you know it. And you know he set you up this morning. Then just come forward.